It's bonus time here on the Gill Connections podcast. In an effort to increase communication, empathy, and understanding around the country, we're going to be running a new episode every day, interviewing a coach, a high school coach from every state, and yes, even you, Washington, D.C., with explaining how the state qualifying system works in their state. We'll be talking with a local state expert on how many classes, private versus public schools, what events, and what is the process? Is it areas, districts, regionals, state meet? Is it a descending order list? Are there fun things that you do a little differently? Like maybe you, I don't know, maybe you do double points for relays. Looking at you, Texas. And then we're also going to get to the bottom of, is it the state meet or do you qualify for states? So check us out every day here in April and May of 2024 as we run through each state with a local state expert. So let's get started right now. Well, let's head down to really one of the best states there is because it's the home of your humble host, Mike Cunningham. I went to high school and college in this great state. So let's go south and let's talk to Alabama. Ben, thanks for joining us. Thanks for representing Alabama. Why don't you start us off with a kind of a 30,000 foot level of you, how long you've coached in this state, what school, et cetera.
Well, first, Mike, thank you for having me. I love the podcast. I've even got my track throwing daughter listening to it now. So, you know, I'm honored to be on this podcast, but I am Coach Ben Dake. I am at Locust Fort High School, just a little bit north of Birmingham, if you're familiar with the area. This will be my fourth season as the outdoor head coach. Second year is indoor because we just started it last year. And my seventh year overall coaching track, and they've all been in the state, great state, I should say, of Alabama.
That's right. Awesome. Well, appreciate that. Again, you know, this series is to, you know, create conversation and empathy and understanding for other states. And while we have a high school coach from each state, they're not necessarily the experts of each state, but they are representing the state. And so, Ben, I really do appreciate you stepping up and showing the leadership that I know you had. You know, you and I have done a few activities together with your team. So just so grateful for you to be with us here for Alabama. So let's get into it with Alabama. Let's start with some states I know do a separate private school league state meet in a separate public school. What are we doing in Alabama? Are we all together? Are we separate? What are we doing public versus private school?
Well, there's actually two major sport governing bodies in Alabama.
Okay.
There's the AISA, which is 100% private schools. And then there is the larger body, the Alabama High School Athletic Association, the AHSAA, and that's all of the public schools. And private schools do have the option to become a member of the AHSAA. But besides that, there's not really any separation between public and private. We compete shoulder to shoulder. The AHSAA does what they call a little bit of competitive balancing with the private schools. Mm-hmm. And for listeners, when I was in high school, that just meant if your student body would have made you, say, a 3A high school in a public school, if you were private, you competed at 4A. So you competed against bigger public schools.
Got it.
I'm not exactly sure what the math formula is right now. That is above my pay grade. Yeah. I can't really worry about it. So
okay. You're at a public school. You don't have to worry about it. That's right.
Right.
So does the IASA, do they conduct a state meet themselves?
I believe they do. To be perfectly honest, because I haven't been at an AISA school, I haven't really paid any attention to how or what they do. But I have seen on Alabama runners on Milesplit that they do have their meets on there for people to register for. And I believe they had a state meet listed there last year. Cause I saw it and I saw, whoa, wait, hold on. Why is this in Aniana and I'm not going to it?
Right. Perfect. Well, let's focus on the AHSAA, which I ran in and competed for the state meet for 3 years. So I'm a little bit familiar, at least back in the 90s when I ran there. So let's start with how many classes, or what do you call it, divisions? How many classes do you have there in Alabama?
Compared to other states that I've seen that are a little bit more complicated, Alabama is fairly straightforward in their classification system. We have 7 classifications going from 7A all the way down to 1A. The biggest 32 schools in the state based on student body, those are your 7As. And then for 6, 5, 4, 3, and 2, each of those is the next biggest 64. And then 1A being the smallest classification is just everybody who's left.
That's interesting. So it's not necessarily by population. It is the top, the biggest 32, and then the biggest 64s knock your way down. Interesting. When I was there, it was 6 divisions, and I thought it was, you know, as a high schooler, so I could have been wrong here. I thought it was based on, you know, 1,000 and above were 6As. We were 5As where we were. And we were always, you know, we were a small, air quotes there. But, you know, everybody tries to justify, right? We were a small 5A. Okay.
Well, how when I was in high school, at Auburn High School, we were a quote unquote small 6A because we were right on the line. And that right. We only had 6 classifications then too. So.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. So we got 7 classes. How do we get to state? What's the first, you know, everybody calls them a little differently, area, districts, regional, sectionals. What's our first one in Alabama?
In Alabama, we only have 1 qualifying meet for the state meet.
Okay.
I know our friends in Texas, it feels like the NCAA tournament to get to the state meet sometimes. But in Alabama, we just have a sectional meet.
Okay.
And each classification has 4 locations throughout the state, usually 2 in the northern half and 2 in the southern half. And each school is assigned their own sectional, like which location they're going to. And usually those sectional locations will have multiple classifications there, just so kind of keep the numbers down of who has to host, because yeah, that's an ordeal. And also just so you don't have the same places hosting the same people all the time. But you'll have a sectional meet, and there's some criteria on how you can qualify from sectionals to state. Do you want me to go ahead and go into that?
Before you go there, that'll be the next step, I think. But first, how do you qualify for sectional? So assuming there's a conference meet, maybe for some or most, how do you actually say, okay, this many 4x8 teams or this many 100-meter runners are qualified for sectionals?
We actually don't have qualifications for sectionals. The way we run sectionals is every team is limited to 3 individual entries in an event and 1 relay team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have kind of pseudo qualifications on my team. I just tell them from the beginning, if you're not in my top 3 times, you're not going to go to sectionals.
Right.
And so they've got a whole season to quote unquote qualify for sectionals.
Yeah. So it's for, and this isn't supposed to be a insult, but the sectional meet is an all comer. So there's no qualifying time. There's no, you have to win conference.
Right.
It's if your team enters you, then you're in sectionals, meaning you have a chance for the next meet, which is state. We go straight from sectionals to the state meet.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Now, and let me make sure we understand this. There's 4 sectionals for each class. So A has 4 sectionals, 2A has 4 sectionals. And sometimes because of facilities and et cetera, there may be an A and a 2A meet held at the same location, but they would still be separate meets, or do they run together?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
They're run synchronously, but they're scored and everything separately. So like for us, we've run meets with, and we're a 2A school.
Okay.
We've run meets again with 6A schools being there, 5A schools being there, but we just cared about the 2A results.
Did two in that sectional, did a 2A run against the 6A? Or
No.
The 100-meter heats were 2A, 100-meter heats, and then the 6A?
Right.
Yeah, okay, got it. So the meet were all going at one place, but it was split to your classification.
Yes, perfect. Absolutely.
Perfect. Now, how many per event go from sectionals, how many kids in the 100 or the 4x8, et cetera, qualify onto the state meet?
Okay, this is where it gets a little cloudy in my kids.
Okay.
The new kids have some problems processing this. At sectionals, in the, let's say, distances less than 400 meters, except for the 300-meter hurdles, it's the top 5 finishers. They're automatically qualified for state.
So in the 100, once we get to a finals, the top 5 are going to go to state. And because there's 4 sectionals, you're saying that there are 20 100 meter runners go to state?
24, because you have five automatic qualifiers from every sectional, and then the next four fastest times qualify as what we call a wild card.
Out of all four sectionals. Cool. I like that. That's interesting. I like that. Yeah.
And that's including the 4x100 relay.
Yep.
But your 300 hurdles and your runs 400 meters and above, your 4x400 relays, your field events, your vertical and horizontal jumps, they all have a minimum qualifying standard as well. So you have to finish in the individual events in the top five and meet the qualifying standard to qualify for state. For relays, it's top three are automatic qualifiers.
So someone could finish fifth in the mile and not make the qualifying standard, therefore not go to state.
I had a girl do that this year. She met the placement part to qualify for state in the 3200, but her time was like 20 seconds slower than the qualifying time.
And how does that qualifying time get calculated or issued?
The state sets that every year in what they call our sports book, which is just our big information packet for the season. And generally speaking, you know, over the last few years, I haven't seen a huge change in qualifying times. Like the girls 4x4, as long as I've been coaching, has always been 4:50 for 2A. Now they do change the qualifying times for different classifications. Like the bigger classifications have faster qualifying times than smaller schools, because theoretically they should have a deeper athlete pool and be able to find more kids that can meet that time.
Right.
Theoretically.
I assume that qualification time comes from an aggregate average of some past 5 years in that division alone. That's a safe assumption?
I would think so. That would make sense to me.
Right.
But again, that's one of those, they just send it out and I say, okay, guys,
they don't send it out and ask you for your opinion. They send it out.
They don't ask me to fill out a Google form or anything. And
all right.
What do you think about this?
So our top five in a few specific events are going to the state meet. In others, it's top five with a little asterisk of they have to be faster than qualifying time.
And if your sectional, and this has benefited us before, if your sectional's top five, like let's say the top three meet in the 400, met the qualifying time, but four and five didn't. Well, now instead of having four statewide wild cards, now you've got six.
Okay, I was going to ask you about the wild cards. So you would go to six, but that's six that are meeting the qualifying time as well.
Right.
So one sectional could have a, in that scenario where there's now six, could have their 10th place person, I guess, technically. I mean, that person didn't make finals, but a 10th place person, if it's that deep of a sectional, that 10th person could still go to state if they met, if they beat the time.
And I've had a javelin thrower do that, finish ninth in sectionals, but there were a few that just, they only had one or two kids entered.
Right,
so that automatically opened up more qualifiers, and then they were just in that next group that qualified for state.
Did that ninth place person, how did they do it for sectionals? Did that ninth place person make finals, or were they the first one out of finals? Because I'm curious, if you didn't make the actual final, are you still eligible?
You are still eligible. They do it based on overall finish within the field at sectionals. Yeah.
Okay, so your prelims would count and your prelim running times. Okay, perfect. Anything else to know about sectionals before we ask about the state meet itself?
They are my favorite time of year. I love sectionals. I love them. That's what we compete for at Locust Fork. Cool. My kids love them.
Love it. Love it. All right. We go to state. Is state meet here in Alabama? First of all, how many locations are we? We got seven classes. That's a lot. So are we doing seven different venues? Are we doing two, three? And then also talk to us about, is it a 1 day meet, 2 day meet, 3 day meet? How are we doing that?
Okay. I've been on both sides of this, the bigger school side and now the smaller school side. Your 1, 2, and 3 A's, they go to Coleman High School for their state meet, or I say their our state meet.
Right.
It's a 2 day meet, and sectionals are actually run on the same schedule as the 1 through 3A state meet. Huh. So I tell my parents at the beginning of the year, I'm sending you the state schedule, but just know this will be our sectional schedule two as far as times go.
Right.
And that location has been fantastic for us because it's like 30 minutes from our school. Get to sleep in our bed.
Nice.
It's fantastic. 4A through 7A, they have a three-day meet in Gulf Shores, Alabama. Mm-hmm. They get to go to the beach.
Yeah.
Which the kids get really irate about, but as the person that would have to plan that trip, I'm really okay with not going to the beach.
Yeah. You know, I went to school and coached at Troy University. We used to host the 1, 2, and 3 state meet. In fact, my regionals when I ran was at Troy. So there, you know, and you know, Troy's heaven on earth for me. So that's way better than the beach. Okay. So you mentioned, let's talk about unique events possibly happening here in Alabama. You mentioned one, you know, you mentioned the javelin, which I'm super proud of. And, you know, being my home state, I'm so happy that, you know, Alabama stepped up and included the javelin about, I don't know, a little over 10 years ago. I'd probably say it's probably pushing close to 15 at this point. I think it happened since I've been here at Gill, which has been 17 years. We do the rubber tip in Alabama. So yes. That's kind of unique in that sense. But I think within year 2 or 3 after Alabama, this is what I implore other states who don't have the javelin to add it. Within either the 2nd or 3rd year, so really, really soon after it became an official event, an Alabama high school athlete was the leading thrower in the country out of high school. And so that just tells me, like, there are kids sitting in Texas right now who does not have javelin that is a 200 plus thrower and should be getting an opportunity to compete in the next level at college. And because they don't have javelin, he or she just sits there and plays basketball or, you know, runs the 400 or something. So we need more states having javelin. Any other uniqueness as far as events are concerned there in Alabama?
I didn't see it listed on your standard event sheet, but in Alabama, we do have a 4x800 relay.
Did I not put that on there? Yeah, you know, because some states don't. I'm surprised. You know what? Here's shame on me. That's how I qualified for state 3 years is in the 4x8, and I didn't even put that down. Yeah, 4x8, but no DMR and sprint medley. Yeah, okay.
Every now and then we'll have a meet that will have a DMR or a thrower's relay, which is always entertaining.
Right.
But other than that, the state and sectional meets are pretty standard. Yeah. We but don't have the hammer throw.
Right.
Yeah. Or the weight throw. Right. We don't. You know, I know some states do a 4x200. We don't do that.
Right.
But
the javelin.
We're pretty straightforward. We've got the 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, the short, the sprint hurdles, the 300 hurdles, 4x1, 4x4, 4x8, all your jumps, shot, disc, pole vault. We don't pole vault, but other schools do.
Right. Anything unique after the state meet?
After the state meet, we do have a separate meet for your multis.
Nice.
For those kids that, and actually you qualify for that state meet based on results throughout the season.
Oh, is that right?
They just kind of take your mark in this event and say, well, you met the qualifying standard here, so check that mark off. I was officiating a meet last season and a kid, like, he was trying to qualify or get his decathlon qualifying marks in the 16 in the shot put that meet, and that was it. Yeah. Because that was his goal. He said, I'm a multis guy. I know I'm not going to win shot put, but I need to get this mark.
I love that. You know, again, my state of Alabama leading, we've done this cup and deck for quite a while. In fact, Bo Jackson was a decathlon champion in the great state of Alabama. Excuse me. So, so happy that, you know, Alabama includes that as part of their state series. I know it's not the state meet, but has that opportunity available. Okay. Absolutely. Help us dispel, give us the answer here. Are we qualifying? When you say the culture there, do we qualify for the state meet or do we qualify for states?
And our kids say it. We say qualify for state.
Oh, qualify for state. No, no S.
No S.
Not the
no
state meet. Not states. State.
State. Qualify for state. Make it to state. Make it to state. Make it to state. That's the goal. And once you make it to state,
bingo.
Let the chips fall where they may.
I love it. All right. And I'll give you one chance, Ben, here as we wrap up. If you could change one thing about the state qualifying series, whether it's how you qualify, whether it's an event that's missing or an event you don't like, maybe you don't like javelin. What's one thing that you might, if you had the magic wand, you might change there in Alabama?
Okay. This is an easy question and it's not going to be a rant. I promise. Okay.
All right.
I am all for qualifying standards. I understand why we have them, why we need them. But what I would like to see happen, because I have been at state meets, and this is usually more of a small school problem than a big school problem, but I have seen events run with only three kids in it, and they're all from the same school because nobody else in the state met the standard.
At the state meet?
Right, at the state meet. Or I've seen a 4x8 relay run with only one team because nobody else met the time.
Yeah.
What I would like to see changed is, okay, after you do your automatics and apply the qualifying standard, fill out the field with the best of the rest.
Yeah.
Have some kind of,
descending order list for that.
Right. Have a full field of 16 relay teams or 24 individuals, because that's that many more kids that get the state meet experience.
Yeah, sure.
And for me personally, the year we won state in the 4x4, we shaved 6 seconds off in 3 days of practice between sectionals and state. Like, you never know. Those kids could be under the qualifying time by the time they get to state.
Yeah. So, that'd be a good way. I do agree. There's something that actually is kind of removed when there's only, when there's not a full field, when there's not a full eight or whatnot. That's points that are just not getting, you know, they're there. They should be given to someone. Someone should earn them. Change that. All right. I love it, Ben. Thank you so much. Ben, thank you again for stepping up and being a great leader and representing the state of Alabama. We're doing these in alphabetical order, so you're the first one everybody's going to hear in our 51 mini episodes here that we're going to do in the months of April and May. So Ben, thank you so much. Appreciate you. And everybody's going to ask, are you Roll Tide or War Eagle? That's how we'll end it.
Actually, both. I did my undergraduate at Bama and I got my master's at Auburn. I make everybody mad.
I was about to say, no one's going to believe it. No one's going to like it. Ben, thank you so much. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Mike.